Friendship isn't the big things, it's the million little things. Hello there, friends, and welcome to this, another episode of A Million Little TV Shows Podcast. This is where we break down and discuss episodes of TV shows that you may not have even heard of. I believe these TV shows need a little more love, and that is what this platform is here to do. Each week, we will be covering different shows from all over the globe. We'll be breaking down each episode, giving you the main highlights, and going through it bit by bit. But for now, I think it's best that we find out what's on the menu today. Hello there, and welcome back to this, A Million Little TV Shows Podcast. Now, today, I'm going to be going something that's going to be a lot of fun for me, because it's a show that I absolutely loved when it was on. I've only seen it once, and I still think it holds up. I think it's going to be an amazing next couple of episodes, interspersed with The Newsroom as well, which is a fantastic series. And so today I'm going to be talking about Santa Clarita Diet, which was a show that caught me off guard when I first heard about it, and then I watched it and thought it was absolutely brilliant. For me, it's on a similar lines with something like iZombie, which I also thought was fantastic and may cover at some point, because it was such a fun show, and this is just as fun. So I'm hoping that you're going to enjoy it as much as I do. And if you've come here because you've seen that I'm covering Santa Clarita Diet, I hope you go and see everything else that I've covered, or even if you just want to pick things out and go and watch that and then listen to the episodes as well. But I really hope that you enjoy this as much as I did, because I thought it was fantastic at first. And hopefully, like I say, hopefully it does hold up. So what initially drew me to the show was the fact that it was Timothy Oliphant and Drew Barrymore. Now, I've loved these two for absolutely years. I think they're so good in any sort of role that they do. And this sort of plays to their strengths. They are kind of goofy, but they are straight-laced as well. So they come across really well in this sort of bizarre world that is created. And I really don't want to say too much about it. I just want to get into it. Because I think for me, it hits the ground running. It doesn't string the premise out until the end of the first episode. It pretty much hits you in the face straight away. So you find out initially what the problem is straight away, and it just gets straight into the episode. And I think it's really fun. So that's why I just want to get straight into it and enjoy it for what it is. So let's just do that. This is Santa Clarita Diet, Season 1, Episodes 1 to 3. The series stars Drew Barrymore as Sheila Hammond, Timothy Oliphant as Joel Hammond, Liv Houston as Abby Hammond, and Skylar Gizondo as Eric Bemis. Episode 1. So then, a bat or a monkey? First of all, I just want to say that this episode is directed by Ruben Fleischer, which is really great because he was the guy who did Zombieland. So anything that involves zombies and this guy, you know it's going to be good. So we see Sheila and Joel in bed, and Joel wakes up a couple of minutes just before the alarm's meant to go off, and he thinks that maybe he can just have a little bit of fun with his wife. Sheila, however, just isn't interested at all, and as soon as the alarm goes off, it's hands to the pump. Everyone's doing whatever they're doing, making breakfast, getting ready for the day. And they seem to be a very atypical American family, white picket fence types, except they don't have a white picket fence. But you can see in the family dynamic that they are just ticking along. There's nothing extra special about them, but there's nothing like on the horizon for them. And so they are just a run-of-the-mill family that are just getting on with their life. They seem to be quite successful. The house that they're living in is pretty nice. And it turns out that they're realtors or real estate agents. I'm probably going to say real estate agents because I'll fuck realtors up quite a lot. And of course, they live in Santa Clarita. And so they start the day off and they're heading out to obviously work, and for Abby, it's school. Abby all the time is going on about how she needs a new car, or she needs a car, because both her mum and dad have a separate car, and she's trying to hint that if her mum gets a new car, then she can have hers. But Joel keeps telling her that that's not going to happen whatsoever. When they head outside, they're confronted by their neighbours. On one side, they've got Dan and Lisa, who Dan is the sheriff's deputy, and he is a little aggressive. He's asking about why lights have been left on next door and why people are up in the middle of the night and if everything's okay. He's pretty intense. His wife, Lisa, is very different to him. She seems like she never got out of party mode. And so when she mentions to Sheila that she's going to be having a party later, or they're going out for drinks, Sheila is a little bit apprehensive. But Lisa says, well, it's not like we're going out sleeping with other men. And that seems to be her vibe. She's a party girl, but never left it behind. On the other side, however, you've got Rick and Alondra. Now, Rick is a police officer, and so because the sheriff's department and the police don't get along in this town, there seems to be clashes between the both neighbours. They seem to be trying to one-up each other all the time. And then, like I say, you've got Sheila and Joel just sat in the middle, who are just trying to get along and trying to do their best, but they're stuck in between two very alpha males, which I hate that term, but that is essentially what they are doing. Lisa has a son from a previous relationship, and that is Eric, who Lisa quotes that he really likes Abby, and he says this to Abby's face. She says, he really likes you, and you are definitely the top of his spank bank, which, coming from his mother, is mortifying, and he yells as much as she is just literally stood outside the car, and he is in the car listening to the conversation. When Sheila gets to work, she meets a new realtor called Gary West, who is played by the excellent Nathan Fillion. And while the boss, Carl, is talking and joking around with both Sheila and Gary, it seems like he's quite a jovial person, but then he turns on a dime and starts being a real dick to her, and essentially tells her that she needs to get this sale over the line for this house that they're trying to sell. And so she tells him that that is exactly what they're going to be doing today. Sheila and Joel both work together. And so when they head out to this house to go and sell it, they're pulling out all the stops. Apart from the fact that morning, Sheila hadn't been feeling well. She had a gripe in her stomach. And then when she gets to the house, again, she feels this gripe in her stomach. And she doesn't know what the hell's going on. All of a sudden, halfway through a sentence, she just vomits everywhere, right in front of the client. She claims that she'll get it cleaned up, but basically she screwed it. She heads off into the bathroom while Joel shows them the rest of the house, but all you can hear throughout is just her vomiting over every time Joel stops for a sentence. It's such epic timing and so funny. Eventually, this couple leave, and Joel goes back to the room where Sheila was. When he walks in, the room is covered with vomit, and Sheila is laid out on the floor. When he goes over to her, he tests for her pulse, but there's nothing there, and so he grabs hold of her, thinking that she's dead, until she wakes up and says, I did vomit quite a lot, and then I vomited this up, and it just seems to be like a avocado stone or something like that. It's like a meatball-shaped thing that's come out of her. And so they head to the hospital to find out what the hell's going on. But after a while, they've been there so long that it's just taking forever, and they decide just to go home. Sheila says that she's fine, and Joel has to just take her by her word. However, when they're at the hospital, I think the best line that I heard so far, and this is why I definitely did need to do this series, is the fact that Drew Barrymore quotes that she's feeling better, but she just needs to go home and take a shower because she feels like a bus station has taken a shit in her mouth. It just floored me when I heard it. I was like, yeah, I definitely did the right thing doing this series because this is going to be great. Even if it's just me who enjoys it. I'm sorry, that is a great line. So Sheila and Joel go home, and when they get there, Gary turns up and he starts to inquire about what happened at the house. He tells Joel that that was a ridiculous amount of vomit, and he's worried for Sheila because whatever happened was ridiculous. But Joel tries to get out of it by saying, you're a realtor, you're not actually a doctor. Like, so how do you know what a normal amount of vomit is? That could have been just a standard amount. You don't know. You're not a doctor. Whereas anyone in their right mind would know that is a fuck ton of vomit. Sheila heads up to bed and Joel goes after her just to look after his wife. He's like bringing her soup and stuff. And while she's up there, she tells him that she can't feel her heartbeat. And so Joel comes over and puts his head on her chest. And while he can't feel her heartbeat either, she starts playing with his hair and tells him how much she likes his hair. There's a definite shift to Sheila's attitude. And then she starts to just push on the top of his head. And essentially then just puts her arms behind her head and goes, yep, that's the spot, baby. Afterwards, Joel goes to the pharmacy. I want to say pharmacy because of what he picks up while he's there. But it's an American store, so God only knows what it could be. But while he's there, he picks up a stethoscope and then heads back to his house. But once again, when he's there, he puts the stethoscope on her chest and he's literally just knelt in front of her and she starts pulling down on where the two meet in the middle, signifying that she wants him to go down on her again. And he says, "Oh, baby, my jaw's a little bit sore from previously." And she goes, "Yeah, well, you need to stop talking then." Fucking hell. What a killer line. Eventually, Abby takes a turn on the stethoscope as well and finds out that, yeah, there's no heartbeat there. Sheila then does something totally out of the blue and cuts her hand, telling them not to freak out. As she does, there's no blood there. And then when she squeezes it, this black goo comes out of her and both Joel and Abby faint. Eventually, they are trying to convince her to go to the hospital, but Sheila just doesn't want to, while she is literally eating mints, raw mints, out of a carton. And then Joel's like, "Do you want me to cook that for you?" And she's like, "Nope, this is all good." She's just fucking troughing it. And honestly, I don't know how many times in the first 20 minutes I laughed out loud. It was brilliant. Like I say, I'm not regretting doing this series at all. Eventually, Abby suggests that they go speak to Eric because Eric is basically a bit of a nerd and knows all about this kind of thing. And so when he's talking to the family, he's asking them all manner of questions. And essentially he just figures out that she is the living dead. And so informs them that they need to keep her well fed. Otherwise, if they don't, she's going to get hungry. And if she gets hungry, that's when she's going to start eating people. So they just need to keep her satisfied. Now, there's a throwaway line in there about how Joel and Sheila have been keeping their own appetites satisfied because Abby finds out that they've been sleeping together. And it just seems super wrong when you actually think about it. So as a child, you don't want to think about your parents having sex. Now throw in the fact that her mother has no heartbeat, so is it essentially dead? That's even worse. So anyway, as they head back to their own house, Sheila walks outside and says how much of a lovely day it is, and then sees a snail on a plant. And both Joel and Abby just look at her going, "Don't do it. Just don't do it. Don't eat it." And she throws it in her mouth and just goes, crunchy. Like, fucking hell. This show is a joy, and I'm fucking so glad I'm doing it. So Sheila starts to become more impulsive as time goes on, and she goes out and buys the car that she wanted. And she also ends up at the bar that night with her neighbour Lisa and a few of the other mums around the area. While she's there, she sees Gary and is a little embarrassed at first, but when Joel turns up and tries to take his wife home, knowing the situation that they're in, Gary steps in and tells him that he's been a bit too much and that maybe he needs to go home. His wife is fine where she is. Joel leaves and Sheila stays, but it's at this point that Gary shows his true intentions and starts grinding up on Sheila. The next morning we find that Joel is alone in bed. When he's up, he takes his frustrations out on the toaster oven that he's got, that he's trying to toast bread in, because one of the knobs fell off of it. And when he smashes it, he decides that he's going to go to the store, and it's the same store that he went to before. And so he ends up talking to a woman there, Ramona, who is just this poor, I think she says she's 20, this poor shop assistant that just can't catch a break and has this guy, Joel, every time come in asking her questions that she just can't answer. But the way that she takes it is brilliant. She's so fucking dry and funny with every line that she comes out with. By this point, Sheila is home and she is in the back garden. While she's there, Gary turns up again and he tells her that he can't believe what she did last night. He thought that they were going to have sex, but she just disappeared. And she says, "Well, outside that burger place in town, they do have a lot of meat that they just throw away, which means she's been dumpster diving all night for meat." Eventually, Gary just starts being aggressive and grabs hold of her, starts grinding on her again, and she's like, "I don't want this. Like, no means no, guys." And as he does start to grind on her, she keeps trying to push him away, but he keeps pushing against her. Eventually, she knows what she has to do, and she tells him that all this aggression is actually making her kind of hot. She takes his fingers, puts them in her mouth, and bites them off. And it's a grim scene with Nathan Fillion just stood there holding his hand, gushing blood with two fingers missing. And he's just going crazy. She eventually drags him down to the floor, opens his shirt and just starts chowing down. When Joel comes back from the store, he wants to speak to his wife about what happened last night because he's pissed with her. But when he goes into the back garden, she is still chowing down on Gary. And he goes, what? He just looks at her like, what the fuck's happened? What have you done? And she says, oh, I'm sorry. I need to make this work. And that's how the episode ends. Fucking what a great first episode that it was. So funny. I could not stop laughing. Like, bits of it are so fucking great. Even the side characters are really funny. And it's a joy to watch. It really is. It's really given me that endorphin rush that I needed. Just so great. So funny. Episode 2, We Can't Kill People. So Joel and Sheila are both out in the desert. And Joel is digging a hole. And they basically have this box, like a storage box, with just Gary floating in it. Just bits of him. There's blood, there's fucking everything in this box. And it looks like really bad soup. And while he's digging this hole, Sheila has just stood outside and she's acting as casual as you like, just talking about when their next sale is going to be. And also what kind of properties are just about to come on the market. But Joel's just like, honey, we need to get this in the ground and get away. And she's just got no urgency about it whatsoever. Just then a car starts to approach and they start to struggle. They drop the box and it spills out all over the desert. At this point, they are literally shoveling this body into this hole. And there's blood everywhere and there's this box that's broken up and it looks a right state. They're both covered in blood as well. And as this car pulls up, it stops. And they're both just stood in the headlights, covered in blood, trying to act as normal as possible. After a moment, the car door opens and Joel runs headlong with the shovel held high, trying to take out whoever's getting out of the car. But then Abby jumps out the other side and tells him, Dad, it's us. And it's just her and Eric. Abby explains that she found them because they've got the tracker apps on their phones. And so she knew where they were. After she came home and found that there was a toaster oven broken in the back garden, and the back garden was also covered in blood, she didn't know what to think, and so tried to find out where they were. All this while Eric is just carrying on cleaning up the crime scene. He's literally just carrying on digging the hole and starts shoveling soil back in, while the Hammonds are just going off on each other. Eventually they go home and Eric gives them this compound that basically will help them get rid of the blood that's in the back garden without killing the grass. And so during the night, Joel is out there and he's spraying the garden. But of course, this alerts the neighbour, Dan, who is the deputy sheriff. So of course, the next morning when Joel is basically trying to lay down rules for this whole situation with Sheila, she's just not interested. She's just trying to hump him. But he's like getting real serious and saying, look, we need to set some ground rules on this. I want to make sure that you are safe and that no one is going to start suspecting anything of us. And especially that he doesn't want his wife to go to jail, or him in fact, since he is part of this. And so he basically says, you know, I need you to confine your consumption and don't eat people. And so she just agrees to go back onto raw meat, even though the night before she kept telling him that she didn't have sex with Gary, but she did eat his testicles, and therefore, is that the same? It's just fucking ridiculous. And the thing is, both of them are delivering lines with such straight faces. It is unreal. And the lines that they're delivering are ridiculous. But every time they nail it, and just the expression on both of their faces just makes me laugh so much. So the next morning, Dan is outside in the garden and he is inspecting what was going on overnight. And so Joel has to go out to see him. So Joel heads out and he speaks to Dan, and he is just being the nice guy, the guy next door, your friendly neighbourhood man. And he's just trying to get along with Dan. He knows that Dan is a little bit hot-headed, and obviously he's from the sheriff's department, and he's trying to make sure that this doesn't get flagged, that something has been going on with his wife. And so while he's speaking to Dan, Sheila comes out, and where Joel's being all, hi Dan, how are you doing? Oh, yeah, don't worry about that, it's fine. Sheila basically comes out, and when he asks what's been going on in the yard, Sheila says, it's none of your fucking business, Dan. And it seems like this whole new attitude for Sheila is really starting to ramp up. And eventually Joel has to mediate and just say, look, can you make sure that you're not coming in our yard anymore? It's a bit off. Like, why are you in our yard anyway? But Dan seems to just ignore the whole conversation and is more concerned about the ant problem that they apparently have. So Joel that day is meant to be going to see a doctor about the situation with his wife. And then later on, they're meant to be trying to sell this house again, which is the one that Sheila threw up in, and again to the same couple. So Dan heads out and he goes over to this university and he meets this doctor. And as he's talking to the doctor, played by Patton Oswalt, by the way, which I love, he'll be coming up again on this this podcast. He's a doctor who is involved with viruses, and to his knowledge, there is nothing that would cause this. And so when Joel shows him the actual stone that came out of his wife, he doesn't know anything about it, and so calls another doctor. But when this doctor comes down, it turns out that she's actually a psychologist, and they want to lock Joel up because he's sounding crazy. Joel, however, leaves, and just as he's heading out, he calls Sheila, and Sheila tells him that she's really hungry and wants some meat. And he tells her that, well, why don't you just go and get some? We've got plenty in the fridge. It turns out that Sheila has tried all this meat, and now she can't eat any of it, because now that she's had the taste of human flesh, she wants more. That is the only thing that will slake her lust for food. And so Joel heads over to the house that they're trying to sell, and when he gets there, he throws this meat in front of her, and she's like, no, I don't want any of it. And so now Joel is trying to come up with solutions, because, as the title suggests, we can't kill people. Abby, after the events of the previous night, just feels like school isn't cutting it anymore, and just as she's about to walk out of school, she is caught by Eric, and she tells him that she's gonna just walk out. She doesn't need school. She doesn't understand why she's here, and she's just too distracted by everything that's gone on, and so she just wants out. As she's about to leave, Eric says he's going to go with her and knows a good place to go. So the solution that Joel comes up with is the fact that maybe it's not just meat. Maybe it's the freshness of the meat. So any pre-packed meat now may not have that same effect for his wife. And so he suggests to Sheila that maybe it's just fresh animals, not just people, that she wants to eat. And so while they're showing these people around this house, they hear a cockerel next door. And Joel suggests that maybe his wife should go next door to see what that noise is all about. The next thing you see, she's got this tarp on, or this fucking rain mac thing on. She's diving around in the neighbour's back garden. And honestly, the stunt person that did this stunt must have hurt themselves, because she does a full belly flop onto the fucking ground while trying to chase this fucking chicken around the back garden. I laughed so hard. Oh my god, it's so stupid. But oh, what a show. But eventually she catches the chicken, and that's the end of that, while Joel is still trying to show these people around this house. Abby and Eric end up going to a comic book store, and when they get there, Abby is stood looking to some of the comic books, mainly one called Mombi, which is Mom Zombie. And while she's looking through it, obviously she's seeing the parallels that's happening with her own life. And while Eric's there telling her that this isn't a great comic, she can see that the mom of this family ended up eating her own pet. And so she starts to get a little bit disturbed by it. However, the comic book store owner has this rule about how you're only allowed to read for 30 seconds before you have to buy the book. And so when he storms over and tells Eric's friend that she needs to put the book down or buy it, she grabs him by the throat and tells him that she's not going to listen to his rules as she forces him to the floor. And this is a big dude, and Liv Hewson is not exactly the biggest person I've ever seen. And yet she forces him to the floor, and it is fucking brutal. Joel and Sheila manage to sell the house, and they tell the people that have just put the offer on the house that the rooster won't be a problem anymore. But as they're about to celebrate, Joel keeps asking, did you eat the rooster? And Sheila keeps avoiding his question until she shouts, we did it. They both start jumping up and down. And then she tells him, I couldn't actually do it. I couldn't eat the chicken. I'm so sorry. And so now he realizes that it's human flesh that his wife wants, and he has to come up with something. So he tells her he's going to take her out to dinner. They end up going back to where Joel met the doctor earlier on in the episode. And there was a guy taking bodies down to the morgue. He goes in and Joel tells him that he'll give him $100 just for opening the door and hands him a $100 bill and then asks him how much for one of the corpses. The guy instantly asks, are you going to fuck it? To which Joel can't believe that the words are coming out of his mouth, but he says, yeah, that's what we're going to do. We're going to fuck it. And he tells him that it's going to be $5,000. So they can't feasibly do that. So Joel roots through his wallet and finds out he's got like $400 on him and just says, what can I get for this? And he ends up getting a foot, which when they're in the car, Sheila just can't eat at all. And so it's just going to have to be real live people that she's going to eat and kill. And so Joel now has to agree that they are going to have to kill people. And just as they agree this, Abby walks in the door and gets into bed with them and just says, nothing's gonna ever be the same again, is it? And just as they were trying to get back to a normal life. Episode 3, we can kill people. So Joel and Sheila start talking about how they need to start looking after Abby better, because over the last few years, she's not got into bed with them. The last time she did that was she was 8, and Sheila's getting quite concerned about it. Joel, however, is concerned about what has to happen that night, because they're going out to kill someone so that his wife can eat. As Abby heads out of the house, Joel and Sheila both try to get hold of her to try and just make sure that she's okay. And that they're going to be having dinner every night because it's what people do and it'll bring the family together. However, Abby asks, well, who are we eating tonight before heading out? Joel and Sheila are both talking about what's going to happen that night and how they're actually going to be killing someone. And Joel keeps telling Sheila that they need to plan this out properly. This can't just be like it was last time with Gary. It can't just be a spur-of-the-moment thing. They've got to really plan this out and make sure that everything is in the right place. Because otherwise, they're going to end up in jail. Sheila just tells him that he doesn't have to do this. She can do this on her own. He doesn't have to be there. But he tells her, look, me and you, it's always been Sheila and Joel. We are going to do this together. Like, I am there to support you, and I'm here to make sure it doesn't get out of hand. But just as they're about to head out to go and get some supplies for this murder that they're about to commit, Dan turns up and knocks on the car, just as they're driving out. And he starts to ask about what sort of stuff Joel was using on those ants the other night. But Joel just bats it off as, I can't remember, ants be gone, ants go away, fuck off ants, something like that. And Sheila's just sat in the background going, fucking hate you. She could just see it on her face, just like, I fucking hate you. And she just goes, yeah, fuck off, ants. And he says, oh, you know, you just need to make sure that you're on top of this kind of problem and that you don't leave anything that is going to come back and bite you in the ass later on. So Joel now feels that Dan is onto them and that he knows something went down that previous night. Sheila, however, doesn't think that he knows anything. But as they're walking through this department store looking for supplies, also Joel shouts out in the middle of the store about how they need to get tacos for taco night. He's brilliant because he's trying to be subtle and cover his own tracks, but he's shouting in the middle of a store about tacos. It's fucking great. But while they're in this store, Sheila sees the big fridges at the back and realises that maybe if they get a big fridge or a chest freezer, that she could actually use that to her advantage. So she could kill, but then she would be able to keep the meat fresh because it would be in the freezer. And then they could just, as her words are, chisel bits off as she goes along. Abby and Eric are bunking off school still. And when they go out to, funnily enough, a taco place as well, they're sat outside eating and their friend Sarah turns up, who is also skipping school. At this point, Sarah's boyfriend turns up and he is a drug dealer and a bit of a scumbag because he's, I think they said he's about 26 and he's dating a 16-year-old and he is a drug dealer as well. And so Abby is wanting some fun. Abby is wanting to do something that is dangerous. She is starting to get that live life on the edge type of deal. And she thinks that maybe if they go after Sarah's ex-boyfriend, because he's just dumped her, that maybe she'll feel something. And that is their plan for today, even though poor Eric just doesn't seem to want to do anything like that. So Sheila and Joel need to find something or someone that they can kill, someone who's not going to be missed. And so they decide to speak to their other neighbour, Rick, who is also a cop, but is a little bit more down to earth, less intense than what Dan is. Then as they're speaking to him, they ask about any criminals in the area. And he tells them that, yeah, there's a paedophile that lives just down the road. And so when they think this is a great idea, because they can get hold of this paedophile and that's going to be it. Like, they can kill him, they can freeze him, and he's not going to be missed. Rick tells them that these guys are monitored all the time, and that basically they can't even go out and get some shampoo from the shop without being tracked down. So they realise that that isn't going to help. However, at this point, Rick is out in the garden. And when Sheila and Joel head back into the house, Sheila says, "Can I not just eat Rick? Because he's out there in the garden and he's basically seasoning himself." Fucking hell, what a line. What a great line that is. Joel, however, just wants to come up with a different plan. They need to find someone so that his wife can eat. But they don't know anything about the criminal underworld that is in and around their town, because why would you, unless you were a cop? However, at this point, Abby, Sarah, and Eric all come back to the house, and they head upstairs. But as they're heading to the house, they're talking about Sarah's ex-boyfriend, and saying that basically he was sleeping with a 16-year-old and he's 26. He is a drug dealer, and he deals drugs to kids. And so they think that they've hit the jackpot, because this guy's a scumbag. And they also give them his Instagram handle, so they can find him instantly, and they set up a drug deal. And so they go over to one of their clients' houses and start putting tarp down. But eventually, when this guy turns up, just before Sheila can eat him, she gets a phone call, and it's from her boss, and it's about another sale that's going on. So she heads out, and she starts talking to these people about what's going on. However, at this point, Joel is on his own, and the dealer says, "Yeah, I don't know about you, man, but I've had a shitty day." And it turns out that he had to break up with Sarah because he thought Sarah was 21 and not 16. So actually, he's actually now starting to sound like a good guy. And Joel ends up talking to him a bit more and finds out that he's only drug dealing because he is trying to help his sister out. And Joel just starts to bond with this guy, and he just can't believe like how good of a guy this guy actually is. And then Joel starts to break down about what he's actually doing there. He doesn't tell him specifically, but this guy can tell that Joel's having a bad time. And so he hugs him, and Joel just whispers to him, "You're not going to die today." And he lets him go. So when Sheila comes back off this call, she walks in and she's like, "Where is he?" And he goes, "I had to let him go. He seems like a really nice guy, actually." And she goes, "You fucking bonded with my dinner?" Fucking hell. Man, some of the lines in it are just crisp. So good. Delivered so well. Every one of them's just fucking making me laugh. Like, I genuinely can't believe I didn't rewatch this show. It's so fucking funny. And so now that Joel has let this drug dealer go, he's gone back to his house, which is now where Abby, Sarah, and Eric are. And Abby tells Eric that his dad's toys are really fucking cool, because she has got a flash grenade and taken it from his stash, and is now about to go and put it through this guy's window. As she does, obviously, it goes off, and this guy comes screaming out of his house. He can't see a fucking thing, and he's just crawling around outside. Abby, however, is not done there, and she puts a gas mask on and walks into the house. Sorry, it must be a gas bomb, not a flash grenade. And so she puts the gas mask on, she walks into the house, and when she gets in there, she picks up this jumper that belonged to Sarah that Abby actually got her previously and hands it over to her. And both are so impressed by her. But Abby just seems to be going off the rails, being more and more daring, being more and more idiotic with her own life. But it seems like she needs that high after what happened with her parents. And then she heads home as well. At this point, Joel and Sheila are both heading home as well. And on their way, Joel gets distracted because he sees In-N-Out Burger and thinks that maybe that would be a good place to eat. And of course, Sheila is pissed off because she hasn't eaten for 2 days and really is struggling so hard to control herself right now. And so as they're driving along, Joel ends up hitting this other car. This car tells them to come over and pull over to the side. And as they do, this guy gets out and he's a dick. Like, it's a Porsche. I think it's a Porsche. And he's just being a dick about it. He says it's going to be a 10 grand cost just to get this fixed. And just starts insulting Joel. And before Joel can actually say anything back to him, all of a sudden, fucking Sheila just jumps at this guy and takes him out. And next thing, she's just chewing on a piece of his neck while Joel is freaking out and kind of going, what the fuck do we do now? At this point, he realizes that there's no cameras around, that no one saw them come over, and no one has seen anything that's happened. And so he decides to wrap him in tarp, put him in the back, and then they can take him to the freezer that they've just bought. So that's exactly what they do. However, at this point, they remember that they're meant to be being good parents and looking after Abby's needs as well. And tonight is meant to be dinner night. So they jump back in the car with a piece of this guy and head home so that Sheila can eat this guy while pretending it's beef. And both Joel and Abby can enjoy the food that they're eating as well. And they seem to just sit and not really tell each other any truths at all, even though they've gone through this really bad experience a few nights earlier. Okay, so I do not regret picking this season. I know I've said it throughout, but I don't. What a fun show this is. My God, it's funny. And I know I keep saying it, but the straight-laced way that they deliver lines is perfect. These two are brilliant together, and I'm so glad that I am rewatching this because I forgot how funny it was. It is an absolute fucking riot. I loved iZombie for exactly the same reason, that it was delivered straight but so fucking such a stupid concept. And this is just the same. Like a zombie having to live in suburbia. It is, what a concept. Great. Absolutely great. And now she has to get away with murders as well. And they're doing it exactly the way that most sort of zombie films or anything where they have to kill people for ethics. A bit like Dexter. They're doing it the way that Dexter would have done it, in that they're finding the bad guys and only killing bad people. But, oh my God, it's so funny. The line where she says that she feels like a bus station shit in her mouth is just perfect for me. It just makes me laugh so much, and you can just see where the comedy's going to come. It's going to come from vulgar humour that is so stupid. For instance, when she starts talking about having to eat Gary's balls, my God, and she just goes, oh, don't worry, it wasn't both of them, it was just one. Just, honestly, I wish I was so talented that I could write something like that. I am very one of these people that come up with something on a whim quickly. But writing it down and fleshing out a character like this is so difficult. And I love it. I love it to bits. I'm going to keep this short and sweet because I just wanted to give you an introduction to the actual show, the characters, and everything around it. And it honestly, it's what I haven't laughed this much for a while. And don't forget, I just watched Miracle Workers, and that makes me laugh. But some of the lines in this, it's a totally different show to obviously what Miracle Workers is. And I just love the adult humour. I love the swearing. I love the fact that it is fanciful in the way that it is building the world. So you've got the two cops, one either side. One's a really nice guy, the other guy's a dick. And they're both competing against each other. You've got these two in the middle who are trying to stay under the eyes of the law as much as possible, but are both fucking stupid. You've got obviously Sheila, who is basically a loaded gun now. She just wants to get out there and eat. And Joel is just trying to control the whole thing, and he's just trying to keep it together, even though he's falling apart all over the place. And then you've got Abby, who is at first this really good girl who doesn't really say boo to a goose or anything like that. And then the next thing, she's seen her mum get rid of a dead body and is now, yep, okay, we're just going to fucking crack on and be a bit of a rebel. I love it. It's so funny. I forgot how funny it was, and I'm so glad I'm doing this. I really am. I hope it comes across in my voice, because fucking, I know I swear a lot, but I don't care. This is too good. This is so funny. I'm so glad I'm watching this. But anyway, I'm going to quit rambling because I know that the last episode was an hour and 50 minutes. Sorry, not the last episode, the one before that. And I know the last one was around 50 minutes. So I just want to get on and start cracking through these episodes now and hopefully having shorter ones for you. But anyway, thank you for today. I hope you're all doing well out there. and I shall speak to you soon. Bye. And that is it for now, amigos. And yes, I am as angry as you are at me for that sentence, but I hope you enjoyed the show and had some fun along the way. It means a lot that you are listening and supporting me. This is an independent podcast after all, and doesn't get a lot of backing. So it is great to know that you're out there, you're listening. And if you want to come talk to me on any of the platforms I'm on, just come say hi. I'm on Instagram, I'm on Twitter, and I'm even a little bit on TikTok. I don't post there much, but I'm on there. And you can also drop comments in the comment sections on any of the platforms, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Podbean, wherever you get your podcasts from. But as always, thank you for your time, and I will speak to you soon.